We're going to see how wonderful Christ is and how that he is both fully God and fully man. And so to begin with, I'll just open with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for today and we thank you for the blessings of it. We thank you for the grace and the mercy that you show to us each and every day. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to come and to worship you this morning, to come and hear your word. And I pray, Lord, that as we listen to your word, that you would remove all the distractions from us so we can concentrate. And I pray that you would remove all sin from us so that we can hear your word fully and to understand it. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me to speak clearly and in a way that will glorify you. Amen. And so, Christmas is a wonderful time, isn't it? And Christmas has just passed us, and it was a time of coming together with friends and family and celebrating, or at least I hope it was. And most people that celebrate Christmas know something about Jesus and the Nativity story. But if you ask most people about who Jesus is, you will find an array of answers. From people thinking that he is just a good teacher that is fully human and not divine, like the Muslims, to people believing that he is fully divine but not human. And that was a heresy that was back in the apostles' time called deism. And you will find a whole lot of weird and interesting theories in between. But in Luke's gospel, we are told quite clearly that Jesus is both fully human and fully divine. And this is what we're going to look at this morning. And so, Luke begins the account of the birth of Jesus in a similar way to the account of the birth of John, previously in the chapter. God sent an angel to the region of Galilee to a town called Nazareth. And now, Nazareth was a small little backwater village in a region that was looked down upon because it was too close to the Gentile border for most Jews. And this town was so insignificant to the economy of Israel because it was nowhere near any of the trade routes. It was small enough not to be able to contribute to any sort of major production of Israel. It's a little bit like Mogrigai. It's off the highway, out of the way. People really have no reason to go there. But this is the starting point of the birth of Jesus. In verse 27, we find out that not only was the angel sent to this little town, he was also sent to someone who was seemingly of even less significance, to a virgin woman. And in those days, if you lived in one of these towns, you were really a nobody, and you were treated like it. But if you were a woman from one of these towns, well, you really were at the bottom of the pecking order. But this is who God sent the angel to. And this is important, as it shows us that God came to be a saviour to all people, both those of the upper class of people and those of the lowest class of people, like those of Nazareth. And we also find out there's another reason for God to go to a virgin woman. That is because she was to bear a son, the Son of God. And the first words from the angel spell out the nature of the visit. "Hail, blessed art thou among all women." This was to be a joyous occasion. But even though this was a great occasion, Mary was still troubled at the appearance of the angel and his greeting. So much so that the angel had to repeat his greeting twice. But this is understandable, as we know from the other appearances of angels in the Bible, they were a terrifying experience for most people. But we need to stop and I need to mention something about this greeting, because the greeting has been warped and twisted by many people throughout history, with, unfortunately, the Catholic Church being one of the main offenders. through this verse and others like it, they claim that Mary herself was divine and of a divine origin, and that it is okay to pray to her. This cannot be further from the truth. Mary is not one to be exalted in that way. Yes, we need to take the greeting of the angel seriously. And yes, Mary is highly favored among most women and blessed among women, as she had the opportunity to give birth to the Son of God, to raise the Son of God. It is a privilege that no other woman will experience. No one else will be granted this gift before or after Mary. She is blessed, but she is, like the rest of the mankind, sinful. And so, what comes next in our passage is some of the most incredible words that we will hear. And know, verse 31 tells us that Jesus will go through the same birthing process that every other human goes through, showing us that he is fully human, starting in the womb of Mary and being born according to how God intended man to be born. But straight after that, we are also told that he will be great. And unlike John the Baptist, who was said to be great in the eyes of God, it was just announced that Jesus was going to be great, full stop. There was no other way for Jesus to be. And the next words explain why. He was to be called the Son of the Highest, Son of the Most High God, and seated on the throne of David. This is a reference to the Messiah that was to come. It was also referring to the fact that Jesus was more than just a mere human. And we then come to verse 34, and we see Mary questioning the angel. But unlike Zacharias, who we found out last week, who questioned out of doubt, Mary seems to be genuinely confused. And to be honest, she had a right to be. It had not been heard of for a virgin to conceive and bear a son. Mary knew the process that was needed to have a child, as do we all. And she wanted to know how this would come about, how she would conceive when she had not known a man. And the answer she received was enough for her. The Holy Spirit will come and overshadow her. And this is the same word and the same process that was used for God when he overshadowed the tabernacle back in Exodus. And when God entered the temple, God's presence overshadowed the altar. And now God is the Holy Spirit is overshadowing Mary. This means that although Jesus had a typical birth, his conception was radically different from every other person. Every other person comes from their father and their mother, but Jesus was a product of the Holy Spirit. And the next words the angel speaks are of a great encouragement for us. He says that the child will be that was to be born will be holy, the Son of God. This is an encouragement because what child do you know that is holy? By nature, all children are unholy. And we just have to look at them and watch. Children have to be taught again and again to share, not to steal, and every other morals that they have. And even then, they still do what is wrong from time to time. But this was not the case for Jesus. He was holy from the beginning, sinless from his mother's womb. And we see this when Mary goes to visit Elizabeth. We read that John the Baptist left in his mother's womb when Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and blessed Mary, all because of Mary's arrival. And so what do we learn from this passage? Well, we learn at least two things: that Jesus is fully human and that he is fully God. This passage is one of many that points out both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus. And this is such an important point in Christian theology and belief, as it is in this point that hangs our salvation. You see, if Christ was not fully man, then he could not have been an adequate and the perfect substitute for your sin and my sin. We learn that mankind will pay for their own sin through the Old Testament. We also learn that it is only by the shedding of blood that sin can be forgiven. We also learn that the blood that had to be shed had to be spotless and pure. Under the law of Moses, this was done through sheep and cattle. But the sheep and cattle were only a shadow of what was to come, of what Jesus came to do. To be the ultimate sacrifice for our sin, to die on the cross and to shed his blood and to rise again. And to do this, he had to be fully human. He needed to go through everything that a human goes through. That means birth, growing up, stubbing his toe, and every other temptation that mankind goes through to be fully human, and being fully human. And he had to go through this so they could understand and sympathize with us. He needed to be able to bleed so that he could be the sacrifice for our sin. This is a point which the apostles spend a lot of time emphasizing, because back in their time, people would believe that Jesus was divine, that he was of a divine origin, that he was God, but they doubted his humanity. But unlike in the days of the apostles, who struggled and fought to show that Jesus Christ was actually a man that lived, today we don't have to fight that. People believe this willingly. They think that Jesus was a man, that he lived, that he was a good teacher, that he was a human being. However, we are facing another serious threat, that people are doubting that he was God, that he was divine. And this passage shows us this in a convincing way. In verse 32, it tells us that Jesus was going to be the Son of the Highest, Son of the Most High. And the Most High, or Highest, was a title which referred to the supreme sovereign ruler of that time. It was a title that was often used for God, and really it is a title that can only be used for God. And so, for Jesus to be called Son of the Most High, the angel was saying that Jesus is of a divine origin. He is descended from God. He is the same as God. And we read that Jesus was to sit on the throne of David and reign over the house of Jacob forever. And really, to reign forever, only God can do that. We know this from history. Every king, every emperor, every dictator ruled, but eventually they died, and they will continue to do this. The only way for a king to reign forever is if he is divine, being fully God. And this is equally important to Jesus being fully human. Jesus had to be fully God, fully divine, so that he was not a sinner like the rest of us. This was the only way that he could be a sacrifice for our sins. We all know that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That is why Jesus had to be conceived from a virgin and by the Holy Spirit. If he was only human, he would have been sinful like the rest of us. But because he is fully God, as well as fully man, he is able to remain sinless in this world. And therefore, he was able to be a sacrifice for our sins. This holy child that was to be born to Mary was the Messiah, the one that was to come after John, and the one that would take away the sins of his people, being fully God and fully man. And we are faced with a challenge today. The challenge of a world that doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, being born of a virgin. And so how should this impact us? Well, firstly, we have to ask ourselves, do we actually believe that this is true? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the Highest, the one who will sit on the throne of David and reign over the house of Jacob forever, being fully God and fully man, as Scripture tells us he is. This is a decision that everyone has to make, because it is this decision that will decide your eternal fate. And if you do believe that Jesus is fully God and fully man, how do you react to the fact that the majority of this world does not believe this? Does it cause you to grieve deeply for those that do not believe, for your friends, family, relatives, the people you work with, knowing that the world has rejected the one who is able to save them from their sin? And as a consequence of that, are you telling others about who he is, about the wonder and nature of his grace and mercy that he shows to everyone that believes in his name? What we learn in this passage is why we celebrate Christmas, isn't it? That the God-man, Jesus, came to earth. So, how did you go this Christmas or this season, sharing about who Jesus really is? Why he came? Was there anyone that you shared with? Sadly for me, I didn't share with anyone. But Christmas is not the only time that we are to share about Jesus. Yes, and it does make it easier at Christmas to bring up the topics, but it is not the only time that we are to share. There is a town outside those doors which the majority of people do not know who Jesus really is. And so, what are we doing as a church to change that? And how are you as an individual contributing? Now, I know that we are not all gifted evangelists or past preachers. We cannot all stand on the corner and preach the Word of God. But we need to be thinking, how can we use the gifts that we have to share the gospel? Whether that's behind the scenes, through prayer, or helping organize events, or up the front. But at times, we need to realize that we just need to suck it up and speak, trusting that God will give you the words to say and preach the Word of God, proclaiming that Jesus is both human and divine, that he died, that he rose again to save us from our sin. Yes, it will get you laughed at. Yes, you will get persecuted in some way. But as Paul says, how will they hear, how will people hear, if no one goes and preaches to them? And how will we be able to preach if we are not reading the Word of God? The Word of God is the way that we can preach to people, and it's what God uses to share how Jesus came. Are we sharing it with others? So, in closing, this passage shows us that Jesus is fully man through the seemingly natural birth process that he went through. But it also tells us that Jesus is divine through his miraculous conception and the description about his life. Is this something that you believe? That Jesus is both God and man? Because if you don't, it is impossible for you to have your sins forgiven. But if you do believe, and I hope that you do, have you told others about the grace and mercy that Jesus showed to this world? Have you told them about how Jesus left his home in glory, came to earth, took on the form of man, and lived a perfect life? And that he died on the cross, shedding his blood for our sin, and then rising again the third day, and is now the mediator between us and God. Jesus, being fully God and fully man, is the only way that we can know salvation. And so we'll just close in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word and for what it tells us. We thank you, Lord, that we can see that Jesus is both fully God and fully man. And I thank you for we just thank you for this, for the way that Jesus left his home to become fully man and to live a perfect life so that we can know salvation. And I pray, Lord, that we will not take this for granted. I pray that we will be sharing this gift that we have received with others around us so that they too may know this, that they too may know salvation and the wonder and grace of your mercy. And so I pray, Lord, that as we go throughout this week, we will be sharing your word, that we will be reading your word so that we will know what we are sharing. And so I just, again, pray for this church at this moment. In Jesus' name, amen.